Cirque de la Symphonie brings the art and athleticism of Cirque to the Concert Music Hall. Artists include aerial flyers, acrobats, contortionists, dancers, jugglers, balancers, and strongmen.
And of course, these artists are among the best in the business, and they include world record holders, gold medal winners of international competitions, and some of the most original talent seen anywhere. Their performances are uniquely adapted to stage accommodations shared by symphonies, and each artist's performance is professionally choreographed to classical masterpieces and to popular contemporary music in collaboration with the maestro.
Tonight, Cirque de la Symphonie performs with the Philadelphia Orchestra here at SPAC as part of the CDPHP Family Night Series. We are joined now by Executive Director and Producer Bill Allen. Hello, Bill.
Hello. Thank
you. Nice to have you here. Aerialist Christine Van Loo is here as well. Hello, Christine.
Hi.
And Darius Ronsky is a hand balancer extraordinaire, and it's a great pleasure to have you here as well.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. You know, we were just talking to Stefan Denev, the maestro, in our last hour about this, and the one thing I didn't ask him, I figured I would wait for you, but how do you fit on stage with everything else?
Well, it really is a challenge. We only use about the last 15 feet of space downstage, and so that sort of dictates what we can do and what we can't do, and it also dictates what sort of artists that we would have in the program, because this is obviously not a place you would have youngsters cut their teeth when you got a $800,000 instrument on the front line. But the
I never thought of that. You don't want crashing into a Stradivarius, do you?
Well, you know, and you know, you get a few strange looks now and then when the rings are being tossed in the air, the hula hoops are flying around, and people sort of shield their instruments a little bit. But we've worked with well over 100 orchestras worldwide, and I guess maybe what goes around in the private circuits has said, well, you know, they're not going to hurt you. Everything's going to be okay. But we have actually had people say, you know, are you really going to fly over our heads? What's that going to be like? But it's an experience for the orchestra to get used to. But generally, they really love it. They love the experience, and particularly the Philadelphia Orchestra, because this is the fourth time we've worked with them, so something must be going right.
How did you get this job? How did you get? And by the way, I recognize your accent. It's quite clear you come from Brooklyn. Is that right?
Oh, sure, exactly. When I'm in Brooklyn, I'm from Brooklyn, and otherwise, I live in Atlanta.
How'd you get the job? I mean,
well, the program Cirque de la Symphonie is the brainchild of myself and Alexander Streltsov, the co-founder, who's out there right now doing a little bit of a tech check with some of our artists. And I went to Russia for the first time back in 1991. I've made over 38 trips there, originally on sort of a cultural academic endeavor that was the outgrowth of the Reykjavik summit between Gorbachev and Reagan. And so as a result of the first cultural exchange, I went over there and I got introduced to people in the circus business in Moscow. And I was just so impressed with the professionalism and the preparation of all of these circus artists, and how the institution itself had such a, I guess, a stature. They even have an institute where you can get a degree in circus arts in Russia. And they also have a retirement plan, you know. So I was, from the very beginning, 20 years ago, looking at ways where circus artistry might be raised to a fine arts level. And that led to my collaboration with Alexander Streltsov, who is the only aerialist to ever perform with a Bolshoi Ballet. He's performed with three different Russian presidents. He competed against all the great cirque artists in the world at the prestigious Festival du Mondial in Paris and won the gold medal when he was only 12. And then he went from there to Broadway, was at the Gerstner Theater starring in a program, again, when he was only 12, 13 years old. So he was from early age in complete understanding of the kind of stature that we were looking for. And his family and everybody in the Moscow Circus was also very enthusiastic about it. But one of the big breaks was he had come over back in 1998 and was working on a theatrical program that I was part of. And I got a call that day from the late maestro Eric Kunzel, the Cincinnati Pops.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I just saw the most amazing thing. I was sitting there watching this theatrical production in Naples, where I'm also conducting, and this guy just flew out over my head. And he said, could that work with a symphony orchestra? And I said, well, you mean with the orchestra not being in the pit? He said, that's exactly what I mean. So I said, well, let's try it. So we brought riggers and technicians in from Moscow, because I didn't know whether any union in America would touch such a thing. And we pulled it off. It was a Valentine's Day concert, which Eric appropriately called Love Is in the Air. And they must have been in love with it, because PBS ran it for 5 years straight.
Oh, they're still running it, actually. During the fun drive, they'll just run it again.
Right.
Again. So, Christine, that would have been you, right? The flying across the stage?
Actually, that was Sasha. But that could have been me, because Sasha, we call him Sasha, is actually my aerial partner, and this evening we will be flying around over the audience. Yes.
And what is that? I mean, I was looking at what you have done. You have flown over a lot of audiences for some pretty incredible performers.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
So what do they look? Why do they want that? I guess I find interesting. Like, when does Paul McCartney call you up and say, you know, I need somebody flying over my head while I'm doing AG?
Well, it's such a dynamic and beautiful and romantic and exciting art form. I mean, who wouldn't want it?
Who wouldn't want you flying over their head? And tonight, what will you be doing?
I'm going to be doing a two-person flying silk act with Sasha. It's like a romantic aerial ballet, basically.
And the music that you'll be accompanying?
What is the music? It's a new piece, Bill. Sorry.
A new piece.
No. Actually, they've worked with Williams before. This is a John Williams' 80th birthday celebration sort of thing tonight. And the piece will be E.T.'s Adventures on Earth, which is new music for the duo. But they're such professional choreographers. I mean, she's being very modest. Christine is not only a 7-time national champion, Olympian of the Year, and in their Hall of Fame, but she's also an amazing choreographer out in L.A., and she and Sasha can take a new piece of music and in a month's time look like they've been working to it all their lives. So it's really just the dynamics of how they interact on stage is an interpretation of the music that sort of adds a three-dimensional effect to the whole concert experience.
Darius, you are a hand balancer. You also have a partner in this.
Yeah.
How long have you been working together?
We worked together performing in America over 21 years, and we did before in acrobatic a couple of years. We was champion in Poland in acrobatics in 1991. After that, we finished in sport and we came to America and performed different places all over the United States. Sometimes we go out of state.
So for the listeners, what is a hand balancer?
Well, hand balancing is basically, a lot of people confuse it with the gymnastic, which it's a little bit different technique on it. It's because gymnasts, they use bars and things like that.
Sure.
A hand balance, it's mostly the acrobats, because acrobats, they actually work as a team together, holding each other on, with the hand standing. I will stand on his hands, on his head, on his feet, and things like that. So it's more acrobatic than really from the gymnastic and stuff. So
you have to like the guy, right?
Well, I mean,
there is an incredible level of trust there.
I would never drop you, Joe.
Well, I mean,
look at that, Alan. Look at that. He's got his hand on his dad, for God's sake.
If you depend on each other, you have to. You cannot drop him, because then who's going to pay you next week? So it's, you know, we work together. It's very difficult, because as a hand balancing, you can't just change partners. And, I mean, it depends on the level you're doing at some of the tricks. You can't just change the partner and do it tomorrow, you know. It takes a long time, exactly, get the balance, each other, get the feeling, trust each other, know, you know, how, if, you know, if he's sick, how to balance the, you know, beside balancing acrobatics, how to balance, you know, don't feeling so well and still do the performing. Show must go on. So that's pretty much, you know, it's a lot of, we're painting in gold, because the act we're doing for 21 years, we're like a statue act. We're doing slow motion and we do the different tricks and paint gold makeup paint. So
you have to be very strong to do this, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the strength. It's, you know, when I was in acrobatic, it's not about the strength. You know, wherever you learn the technique. Everything is technique, the way I look at it. You know, anything in life and any kind of sport, any kind of performing, if you want to learn and be really good on it, you got to learn step by step. You know, you're not going to jump on your one leg if you don't know how to jump on the two legs.
Have you ever seen anybody lose their nerve?
A nerve? What do you mean? Like?
Well, you know, looking down. You know, people are so good at you guys are so good at this, but have you ever seen anybody up there who just all of a sudden had a crisis of confidence?
Not in our show.
No, I guess no. No, I mean, there was different shows we did in the past, you know, that it was a Shut Lights or something, music power went out, and it was interesting how when it's so quiet and you can hear the reaction and people in some of the tricks. That was pretty interesting experience because, you know, when you play the music and the audience are great, I love it, you know, some of them a little bit scared here, act, do something, but most of them, they have a great response for whole through the whole show. But, you know, as a performers and each of us, you know, we like when they're enjoying it because, you know, it's building you up and it makes you want to do more, you know. Sometimes audience a little bit, they a little bit scared to anything like plows or anything because they don't know, you know, if you lose your control. But we love it, you know. When you're up there on the stage, you don't think about it. I don't even hear sometimes, you know, the music and things.
So does it differ from audience to audience? In other words,
it depends, yes.
But it's for them in particular, it's a standing ovation everywhere they go. We were just with the Philadelphia Orchestra out in Vail, standing ovation, and we're just in Ocean City, New Jersey, 2 days ago, standing ovation. These guys, he's being modest, they're really the best of the best, and nobody does what they do. And all you see at the end of the show is dropped jaws, and people are trying to pick them back up.
You know, we're an odd culture. People and ask why they like to go see a car race. They say, well, you know, we hope that there'll be a crash. And if they go to a hockey game, they want a fight to break out. When you're sitting there in the audience and you look up, I mean, I assume, do you sense, you know, like half of them are with you and half of them are saying, oh, you know, maybe he'll fall?
I don't think so.
No, they want you to succeed.
I think it's the whole visual picture on it, how it's done and everything. And that's what the beauty on the symphony is, because it's very classical. It's very, it's a different, I would say, crowd class of the people coming in. But even the regular people, they enjoy it. You know, the classical music is dying. But when you look at it, it's a base of what we have now.
Yeah.
So the beauty of our show, it's, you know, we go and 2 hours act, so the people when they come see the show, they normally will sit and just listen to music. Now they listen to music and they're watching it.
Well, and then we worry, like with Christine, and you're soaring through the air, and then all of a sudden, well, oh my God, don't get too close there, you're gonna hit. Oh, jeepers!
There's something else I really love about the show is that Darius, I call him Derek. He was talking about classical music, and I love the fact that it brings in people of all ages, from children through any age, and they learn to appreciate music because they see this amazing visual going along with it. So it exposes even younger people to classical music in a way that they can really gain an appreciation for it.
It's not too many young kids now go listen to music.
This gives you an opportunity.
But this gives them opportunity to bring the young one and enjoying and continue the history of, you know, and stuff. So it's...
Well, you know, Christine brought up a great point, though, because, you know, we not only see grandmothers bringing their children in to expose them to classical music, you know, and using us as bait. It's, you see a lot of...
There's the Atlanta.
you also see a lot of young people who are in their late 20s, early 30s. And I asked one pair in Seattle one time, oh, you know, what is it that brought you in here? I mean, with all of the different things that you have competing for your attention in the entertainment world. And one girl says, well, I just gave it to him for his birthday. This is so chic. These are the very people that orchestras need to be recruiting as new subscribers in a day when endowments have plunged. A lot of them are either going into or out of bankruptcy. You know, a lot of people don't realize that an orchestra concert is only paid for by about 30% or 40% by ticket sales. You know, and then when the endowment goes down, then those ticket sales are even more important. And so it's important to bring in a program which really does fill the house with a variety of people.
Well, I know the house will be filled tonight. 8 o'clock, Stéphane Deneuve will conduct the Philadelphia Orchestra while Cirque de la Symphonie performs. To learn more, visit SPAC.org, SPAC.org, something you don't want to miss. Prior to the performance, Bill Allen will give a pre-performance talk in the Gold Room in the Hall of Springs. That's at 7 o'clock. Bill, Christine, Darius, I thank you very, very much for joining us today. An absolute delight, and be safe and careful out there tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Roundtables live broadcast from SPAC on WAMC.